Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Now, if only the Alexes are allowed to make up the rules.
Whoa, his soul gets water walked.
That's how you find out what the real AC is.
Like a single maraca.
Are you running away from the giant crab? Are you scared, giant?
Grabdorn picks up a pebble.
Oh, the Doranity.
They're defending themselves somehow.
I mean, would it make sense again if I just led the way?
Screaming!
How many crab points do you have left?
You're doing better than the druid.
I never thought about that. That's really cool.
Oh, trap.
Uh-oh.
Wow, just being attacked.
Oh.
They have 15-foot reach, so they can just...
We've walked right into their trap. They're fighting back.
We never saw this coming.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 55, Between a Rock and a Hard Place.
MVP this week is Kosche, nominated by their friend Yami. Yami says they're so much fun to yell over Dice Shame with, and I love their red and bee designs. Thanks, Kosche. You're this week's MVP.
Congratulations.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Yeah, let's do it.
Imagine this, if you will. We've all gone to a cottage somewhere in the woods. We've gone like Dice Shame goes to the woods, and we're out there.
Oh, we should do that.
We should do that. I think that'd be fun. But
we should do that.
In this version, we realize that we're trapped, not just at a cottage in the woods, but in a horror movie.
Let's not do that. I changed my mind.
Yes. So we realize, oh no, there's a murderer out there.
Uh-oh. Too risky. We better not go on vacation.
Like
together.
A Jason-style murderer. Like something like...
Oh, like no motivation, know, just slasher.
He's just here to kill us. Like there's no motivation. Maybe...
The hook for a hand.
Maybe Rob never remembered who he was. I don't know. He just kept like missing the... I don't know. It's just like, this guy doesn't know who we are. We don't know who he is. That's what's going on.
Shit.
Who dies first and who dies last?
Well, I die last because I'm the killer.
Oh, I die first for sure.
Yeah, there we go. Done.
I was going to fight you for dying first, Rob.
You think so? I think you're way more likely to be the final girl than I am.
You're pushing your way out.
That's the whole trope of those things.
You got, you got big final girl energy, darling.
Well, thank you.
They're natural. What is the thing, if like the person you think goes first, what is the thing that brings them down? What is the... Is
it a crocodile?
It's like, I can wrestle this crocodile.
I can wrestle that.
I trip, I fall down the hill. I'm at the edge of the pond in the middle of night, and there's just those two gleaming eyes in the water, and they get closer and closer, and the man's standing up at the top of the hill, and then there's just gator bites me and I'm gone.
Yep.
Never to be seen again. So the hubris took me down.
Wait, was the serial killer the gator?
Oh. I'm just confused. Ended up in Lake Placid.
Oh
no. What is it that like destroys you? Like, what is the thing that takes, like, or the person you think would be like the one to wander outside, be like, it's fine, it's just the wind, or like, I'm gonna go take a leak outside.
Well, Alex would definitely be the guy who's like fucking high the whole movie, and like I could see Alex doing it. Would be a whole coyote scene. He'd like walk out, he'd be pissing against a tree, and then we'd hear something and he'd go, what? And then he'd like walk over with a light and he'd go, "Oh, you guys playing a trick on me."
Yeah, Alex would for sure see the killer first, right?
Funny, because I had also pegged myself for number two to die.
Yeah.
Like the moral lesson.
After Rob's been eaten by the alligator.
Yeah, the moral lesson.
In some innocuous way. Yeah. Like, I see the killer. I don't think he's the killer. I start running for some random reason and then trip and fall down a hole.
Guys, our Uber Eats is here.
And the killer's standing above me going, "Yeah, you did run for me and die."
I think what we're learning is we shouldn't run in the woods at night. That's the
apparently
that also, seems to be a cause of death two for two so far.
I tell you that coyote story.
I don't understand this serial killer movie where there's like so many wild animals.
And then I see Nersal and Joe like teaming up, and Nersal's like the toughie, right? Like you got the spiked vest and you got a baseball bat, and that's the one that the audience thinks is like, oh, they got it, because you need someone who you think has got it to bite it, so that you're like, oh, she's got a baseball bat, she's gonna take him down. And then there's like kind of a struggle between the killer and Nersal, and then
funniest thing that I've noticed is that I've actually asked this question in other places before, and when I like, and like I once sat with a bunch of coworkers and we ranked everybody, and every time I've done this I've always ended up as the second last person to die, where they're like, "You'd make it pretty
interesting.
far, but you're not making it out."
And yeah,
I'm like, I'd either make it okay or I would be the kind of person who's like, "Anyone want a beer?" and like go into the basement and then just get murdered.
I could see that too.
Harlan, how are you dying?
Well, I think what happens is I'm the first to die, but like I'm a fake out death. Like,
and he's actually
I'm the
killer.
One that the camera pans away from. Like I fall in the woods.
Fall down.
Just because we're all running. We decided to do in the
like,
woods marathon.
Oh,
just a little jog.
Here are the gator.
And you're like, that weird chef guy died or whatever, because I'm a chef in this. And but then I come back at the end, and I think what happens is after Nersal dies and Joe gets some final girl scenes.
Hey, Rob just left. I think I might go see what he's doing.
Yeah, and then like a hand lands on your shoulder and you turn around, it's like me, I'm like covered in mud, and you're like, "Oh my god, like you survived." And I was like, "Yeah," and I have like this like elaborate story that didn't really happen. And then I bring you down to the dock, and that's when I try to kill you.
And then while you guys are looking in each other's eyes really closely,
I go in
all
for
of
a kiss,
sudden, like
and
a,
then I'm like make a pained face, and the camera pans down, and there's a knife in my stomach.
Oh no!
I'd still think we'd let you live.
No, you kill him.
Oh, and you kill me? I'd be a
The
double
pain
knife.
Look is just from the effort of having to.
Or maybe
do
we
it.
Just both kill each other, and it's a really weird movie.
Fall
like,
into
wait,
the
there
lake.
Were two killers?
And then the crocodile comes.
It was the crocodile all along, and then the crocodile's got a knife. Yeah. And then a real serial killer walks up and goes, "I was supposed to be here an hour ago. Thanks for filling in."
Crocodile's like, "No
he's
problem."
Like, he like shows up and he's like, "Oh, who's cleaning this up?"
It's not me.
He just wanders away.
It'd be good in this movie if like one at a time we all seemingly disappear, but then like in that same order we come back again. It just continues happening. You're like, "Oh,
time loop.
Alex has gone strangely missing. Let me go find," like, you know, we all one at a time die off, and then one at a time we come back, and then we one at a time we continue to die off again.
Like, yeah. No, I didn't die. Oh, don't worry. Like,
I
Rob
didn't die. I just
back,
fell in this hole.
Crocodile bites
by, the, by the fourth fake out, you're like, there couldn't possibly do it again.
Another
and then
fake
it starts
out.
To become.
And then at the end, we're all fine. Yeah. There's no killer at all.
Yeah. What a weird weekend. And just
we were just fucking with you, the audience, and your expectations.
That's the title of the movie, Weird Weekend.
Now look behind you, audience.
I still want to go to a D&D weekend at the cottage.
Yeah,
that would be fun.
Yeah,
murderers or no crocodiles.
Those are the options. Murderers or no crocodiles.
You only get one.
You only get one.
I mean, I'm gonna have a rough time getting out of there either way, it sounds like.
Oh,
no. Don't let Rob near a hill.
Oh, no. But the cottage is all on hills.
Right.
Trouble.
Why are we on a mountain?
Speaking of mountains.
Shall we traverse some mountains in D&D?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So, Red, as you round the corner, just at the perimeter of your available dark vision, you see a tall shape, a stone giant.
Red slinks back, and he makes hand gestures to the others. One, he pointed his eye. He makes a really tall hand gesture. And he says, "Stone giant."
Just use a knowing look.
Oh, yeah, I just give a knowing look. And Red will go back and sort of watch them for a moment. Study what he can.
Good. Yes.
Yes, do the study.
The stone giant appears to be watchfully waiting. If you creep even a few feet closer than you were initially able to see its head now, you watch as the stone giant's looking left and right. Ooh. Alert.
Now, are they watchfully waiting or waitfully helplessly watching?
They're doing both, actually. One of them is a reaction and one of them is a bonus action. So they're just
I'll waitfully watch. Okay, I'll watchfully wait.
Twice a turn and they still got an action to go here.
If you guys want to stay here and chat, that's fine.
No.
But moving closer, we're going to go into initiative.
Yeah. Red comes back and knowing looks explains that there's a stone giant watching every move. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, maybe we just slink back a little bit just so we can kind of hushed tones talk. And Red just says,
I mean, they're watching the entrance. It seems like it's go time. Any moves we want to do now, might as well do them. And Red is going to cast Water Walk because I heard some burbling of the mud pools. And if I know that they like to throw, they may do another pick up and toss into that. And I don't want anyone to drown. So
well, thank you so much.
Red chooses the four creatures. It would carry over when the crab turned back, right? Why wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Doran's Doranity.
It's his soul. His soul gets
Oh, the Doranity.
His dwarven essence.
Oh, the Doranity. No.
His Doran nature.
The being in all its forms.
Yeah, yes. So I cast Water Walk. Might as well. And it's a little bit of safety.
You're like four creatures. And then you leaned back and you were like, I'm like, who do you have to think about here?
Except for Mari.
It's only
She's
us four.
Been bothering me lately.
When you do that, all the water in Mari's hair that normally sort of is in there, it all just goes foomp out.
It's like hydrophobic.
And her hair is dry and like frizzy.
That's great.
Yeah.
You've displaced half of your body. You're like,
I'm dying. No.
Oh, no.
Immediately kills
an empty shell of a person.
This kills the Mari.
Red also casts it on Stevie. Because, I mean, there's no reason not to.
You can have five targets?
I can have as many. I think it's, like, up to six or ten.
This
is
OP. When did I give you this spell?
First off, it's my level three spell. You did not give me anything.
I'm taking it back.
No,
Red gets hit by lightning and he loses Water Walk.
Up to 10 willing creatures.
You 10.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a ton.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's really just a utility spell. It does no damage or,
no, it's perfect for exactly this case, for sure.
Yes. And Red, like, hovers his hand over Kieran, and then he's like, nah, not you. you don't need it.
Kieran's dead. Long dead.
Ah, well, good. Then one less thing to kill.
That's where I'd put my Kieran if I had one.
Kieran-shaped hole. Does anyone else want to bless us or invisible us?
May you all have a good fight.
I could. Red, I could turn you invisible if you wanted to get a little further in and give us a signal when you want us to like rush in. Then you'll at least have a little better picture of what's going on.
Well, if I move out of this, your stealth will drop a little bit, but I'm with you. I could definitely scout, and being invisible would let me hit a little harder.
Crab Doran, listening to this and getting excited, picks up like this somewhat big boulder and just crushes it in his claw.
Whoa.
Silently.
Yes. Yeah, it's a small boulder, actually.
Crab Doran picks up a pebble, shakes it wildly, and puts it back like down gently.
Like a single maraca.
But, I mean, would it make sense, again, if I just led the way? You know, and took on the brunt of the attention and the brunt
of
the force.
Let's get discovered.
Can you make Crab Doran invisible so that these guys now just are getting attacked by a giant invisible crab?
Oh, man. So many.
Harlan, the little let's shake like, of your head.
Then let's make him invincible and then he'll just win the game for us.
I feel like there's a real, the crab is beefy.
Yes.
But it's not. It does your shillelagh damage. Just to be crystal clear, it does as much damage as your shillelagh.
4d10 plus 5 is not shillelagh damage, even divided
it's
in half.
It's 2d10. Because he's non-magical. The shillelagh... Well, okay, fair enough. You're right. It does a little bit more than the shillelagh.
It's like a shillelagh but, that can pin you to
but
the
it also
spot.
Automatically grapples you, and they've got to fight to get out of that. Which wastes an action.
I'm not saying it's worthless. What I'm saying is, let's make sure we appropriately level the crab to where it's useful.
I agree.
Doran's better. Like, Doran would be more useful than the crab. And once
Doran's got more options than the crab.
Exactly. The yeah.
Okay. That's all good.
Turn me invisible. Do it. And Red steps towards Jack.
We're only going to have a minute. So as soon as you're invisible, get in position and away we go.
Wait for my signal.
We'll know it when we hear it. And Jack moves his hand in the air in, you know, tracing arcane symbols with his fingers, and magic starts to trail them, and that magic forms a veil that falls over Red, and he disappears.
Ooh.
Everyone roll for initiative.
And suddenly, for no reason, Jack's pants just start going down.
Red uses an action to pants Jack.
My wallet.
Doran, what'd you get?
My bells.
Crab Doran.
Remind me again. Does Crab Doran add anything? I don't think so.
You add your dexterity.
Oh, you do. Okay. So I rolled a fucking natural 20 on this.
Oh! Not
where I want my naturals 20s, but 22.
Crab Doran, 22.
You get one free hit.
Yeah?
Don't listen to me.
If only the Alexes were allowed to make up the rules.
Alex said I could. She said it. Jack, what'd you get?
14.
Nice. Mari.
10.
And last but not least, Red.
21.
Whoa.
All right. Doran is sitting at 22. Doran, did you want to just drop below Red in initiative order, or did you want to delay your turn until next round?
Okay, I'll drop in initiative order.
Red's going to go first, then Doran, then Jack, then Mari.
And then we'll find out where the giants go.
Red, it's your turn. What do you do?
Red slinks up silently, invisibly, towards the giant. He keeps a wide berth as far as the wall opposite him will allow.
Red, as you move into the room and get closer to the stone giant, its great head turns towards you and stares you right in the eye.
Red freezes, staring down the stone giant in the darkness, who looks him up and down. Red lets out a heavy sigh and runs back towards the others. When Red arrives just a little to the left of Jack, even though Jack can't see him, Red pulls out his bow, and he is going to fire.
Okay, roll to hit.
16 to hit.
You miss.
Oh, sorry, 17 to hit.
Oh, well, then you hit.
Hey! Oh! That's how you find out what the real AC is.
I mean, 19 to hit.
I mean...
16. I mean, 17. I mean, 18. I mean, 19.
It's a 17 to hit, though.
You've done it. You've hit.
Does it?
Ta-da. Winner! Daniel!
You've done it!
Particularly Canadian joke.
Inspiration. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Needed that.
That tickled me.
For real inspiration?
Yeah, yeah. Why
thanks.
Not?
Thank you.
No, fake one.
Like, no, I'm
Joe's
not really.
Taunting.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Joe's just talking with you.
Like, dance, go to hell. Monkey.
You said it.
25 damage for the first hit on this giant.
Oh, man.
Hey.
First blood.
Excellent.
Red will fire again. That is a 22 to hit.
You hit.
23 damage.
Whoa. Excellent.
And Red heads back towards everyone and says, invisibility or not, he spotted me. Everyone get ready. He's coming this way.
Oh, boy.
As your arrows stick into this giant's stony flesh, he calls out in pain.
My thane, there are intruders.
Loser.
And you hear a voice from the darkness, from somewhere in the center of the room.
It is forbidden to enter the temple. You will die.
Doran, in his excitement, rushes past Mari, Jack, and Red.
I thought Mari was riding you.
I think she's gotten down at this point. she's at this point, she's just standing off to the side. She's no longer. It doesn't make much sense.
You can pass through friendly squares, but it costs you double movement because you're like, oh, pardon me. Oh, excuse me. Crap coming through.
I'm just going to continue in and kind of block.
Yeah, because you can't see anyone right now.
Just going in this direction of the sound.
Doran uses double his movement, moves into the entryway of this hall, whatever you want to call it. And now I'm right in front of him. Nearly.
Yes, and Doran, with your crab blind sight, you are able to detect a stone giant standing 15 feet away from you.
Mm.
And then you are also able to detect a great club coming down on your back.
Mm. Oh, trap!
Uh-oh.
Well, just being attacked.
Oh.
They have 15-foot reach, so they can just...
We walked right into their trap. They're fighting back.
we never saw this coming.
Oh, they're defending themselves somehow.
It is the stone giants going.
Okay. I was like, where is this club coming from?
15 to hit?
I have a 15. I forget
what
wins.
All right, then I hit
the
you.
Defender wins. Oh, really?
It goes to the roller.
Right.
Oh, you've hit me.
Where does this crap voice come from?
He's learning. His little mandibles are going. He's like, crab, speak, man.
24 bludgeoning damage.
Oof. Oh, I can't speak anymore.
And you're going to take another hit.
Well, unless it misses.
Ooh, no, it will not miss. That's 27 to hit you?
Yeah, it's a hit.
Paste at that point.
Not great damage this time. 14 bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
Then the stone giant moves away from you. After you recover from these dizzying blows, you just barely detect these shuddering footsteps moving away from you. Crab Doran, you've been hit and runned.
Huh. Hit and run.
That's all you perceive. Jack, it's your turn.
Jack steps up behind Doran, peering around him in the spaces that he can see, trying to see in the darkness and the shadows and movement as to what he might be able to get his hands on, maybe sensing this giant move just on the edge of his vision.
Yeah, you move into this cavern 30 feet and you're just able to see the retreating giant move across this stony bridge toward the center of the room.
Jack takes the stance he's been practicing with Doran and Mari, and as he closes his fist, a dagger of fire appears that he throws with as much magical force as he can, trying to send it slamming into this creature in the darkness. Does a 28 hit?
Nice. I don't know. Ooh. Let me check my... Yes, it does hit.
10 fire damage. Excellent. I light this thing up briefly.
Nice.
Giving everyone a flash of where it is before.
Marvelous.
Darkness resumes around us.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. So... anyone who has a direct line of sight on this stone giant sees a dagger of fire just pierce through the darkness and explode on the stone giant's back in a shower of sparks that fall down. Everyone sees this stone bridge that he's standing on. These sparks seem to fall for a long time before they extinguish.
Wow.
Good round. Mari, what do you do?
Yeah.
Mari sees everyone moving forward. She hears the crunch of raw stone on carapace. She sees Jack sort of in the distance with some sort of fire and hears all this sound and creeps forward to try to stay close with everybody. So she reaches into her pocket and out of it comes out this impossibly long bolt of light as if she's just like unfurled this like long glowing arrow out of there. And, oh no, waste of my time.
Oh no.
Oh, I'm going to take a wild guess and say a 12 does not hit.
No,
oh,
ma'am.
Oh.
It does
so
not.
It sails by, but I do want to use a bonus action.
Do it.
Nice. Great. I love that for you.
She watches this thing sail by and just like vanish into the darkness. But in that last little moment out of frustration, she puts her hand on her chest and from it, there these like scales and these wings start to form and this dragon comes sailing out and sort of spirals around her and weaves itself into like her now very fluffy hair and this glowing, shimmering group of light and stars. As it settles there, she's imbued with this new light.
Mari! Ooh. Yeah!
It's like the never-ending story when the thing...
Absolutely. It's just
tiny,
like
tiny, starry red constellation riding the dragon.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Red, you're up next. What happens?
That's awesome.
Ah, right. Well, no one lit this guy up, so I can't see him, unfortunately, which is totally okay. I'm going to move up.
Everyone's kind of crowding, like bottlenecking the entrance of this cavern now.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's great. I love it.
I've corked it.
Bring it on.
Wine.
Yeah.
Dorian gets distracted.
Made me thirsty there.
Red looks around the darkness. His friends all moved up, and he's lost sight of the giant. Damn it! Need a little bit of help here. Screaming! Red screams to the darkness, and just hopping around the corner where the light came from, where they just exited from, you see a small bloodhawk just kind of crawl in and hop over. And Red says, "Go, Screaven, see what you can see." And Screaven takes off to the scry.
Scry!
Do they have dark vision?
Cool. So Screaven screes to the scry.
And, I'm laughing at my own dumb joke because I said that and you repeated it. I'm like, that's funny.
It's a perfect joke. That's why I had to say it again. Where does he go?
He's got 60 foot of dark vision, which is great. He can understand the languages. Oh, he can understand the languages I speak, by the way.
Great.
So there you go.
Interesting.
Oh, he understands giant.
Whoa.
That's great.
I never thought about that. That's really cool.
But he can't speak, right?
No, but that's why we use like the pebble thing. But that's really funny. Screaven appears and Red sends him out towards the direction of the stone giant. And the Bloodhawk, which has 60 foot of dark vision itself, can see the stone giant standing on a bridge. And it flies by and makes an attempt to scratch the creature's eyes out. And it is going to be a melee attack.
Scree!
Scree!
I love Screaven.
19 to hit.
Whoa!
You hit Screaven. You're doing better than the druid.
Oh. That's great.
Maybe you should be a Bloodhawk, Mari.
Ooh, it's coming, baby.
9 damage to the creature as it swipes by.
Excellent.
And he is going to just fly over the mud about 30 feet out.
Marvelous. Screaven flies out over this inky void. It can look down and see mud burbling just on the edge of his dark vision, 60 feet below. And across the bridge, Screaven has just the vague, bare outline of a huge stalactite, maybe 40 feet long, hanging from a massive ceiling right in the center of this cavern.
Whoa.
Mm.
Screaven knows everything.
Screaven knows all. Is that your turn, Red, or you got other shit going on?
That's my turn. I spent my action to summon, and then Steven acted on my turn.
Rock and roll.
Screaven, sorry.
Doran.
Crab Doran is, he's going to run in the direction that he cannot see the stone giant, but he's going to run in that direction. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just get up and try and get as close as I can. If I get up close, that's just going to give the giant an opportunity to attack me.
But if you get within 10 feet of it, it can't run away without you at least getting the opportunity attack. And you're just a sack of hit points like this anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's why I ask. Excellent. So yeah, Doran moves.
And if you do get that opportunity attack, you could grapple them so they couldn't get away.
So Doran uses twice his movement just to get right up now beside the stone giant as he's trying to run away like a really scared little baby. Nyeh, 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 nyeh.
Okay.
Great. Good.
Are you running away from the giant crab? You scared giant?
That's what Doran's thinking. That's going through his mind.
Excellent. Doran, from out of the darkness, you are attacked by a giant boulder being thrown from somewhere.
Oh boy.
You can't.
Ah!
Oof.
19 to hit you.
That does hit. Yep.
22 damage.
22 damage.
Make a strength saving throw.
Fuck's sake. 9.
Crab Doran, you are bowled over onto your back.
Ugh.
Knocked prone by this rock.
No! Except Red can't see that, so he's just like, are we winning?
You just hear a terrible crack of rock on chitin.
Good, that sounds good, right?
I don't know.
I'm not feeling good about this.
Doran, you then take 2 club hits from the giant that's directly in front of you. It's going to be rolling with advantage now that you are prone.
Ah!
Okay. A 15 hits you, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe that's okay.
No. You don't have to feel bad, GM. Just go for
absolve
it.
Absolve her over.
You
sins.
Are a that's sponge the... right now, so that's
totally.
Fair.
It's a game.
19 bludgeoning damage.
I don't take any of this personally. Just wait until next time.
And a crit.
Whoa. Oh,
yeah, God. Natural 20.
Jesus Christ.
Ah, superstar.
Joe got them good dice. Da, da, da,
da, da, da. Oh, my Lord.
30 bludgeoning.
This sponge is soaking up the damage.
Good Lord.
It's 44 hit points left. Doran, now having been a crab for the last 25 minutes or so, has learned some better communication and is clacketing with his claws to his friends.
Knowing clacks.
That they're throwing boulders.
We got that there were boulders. There was a yeah, crunch there's... that really communicated a lot.
Yeah.
It's very evocative.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah. I suppose.
I got eyes on you too. I saw things.
You know what? During an attack, I think it'd be fair to say that you hear Doran clacketing his claws and you know.
Mari's gotten to know it, Crab Doran, well, so she's aware of the distress clack versus the.
Bingo.
The excited clack.
Exactly.
He's upset. Something's wrong.
What is it, boy?
Jack, it's your turn.
Oh, I came up with the dumbest plan. This is probably going to...
Do it! Do it!
It's, do it's the, dumb the dumbest thing. Plan, but it might... I don't know. If it works, it'll be fun. All right. Jack steps up from behind the darkness and raises his hand. And with a flick of his wrist, a sheen of grease appears underneath the stone giant.
Ooh. Yes!
Grease is the worst.
Can you make me a dexterity saving throw looking for 17?
And if he fails it, he slips into the giant healing mud.
And the nice part about this, not concentration.
14.
He falls prone.
Wow.
It's a huge commotion when this giant hits the floor. Doran, Crab Doran, you think he may have injured his tailbone. So we got Crab Doran on the floor, Stone Giant on the floor.
And here's where that gets dumb. Jack presses with every bit of strength of his mind and tries to push the stone giant across the grease over the thing off the edge.
Ah. Yeah.
Can it make me a strength saving throw as it slides across the ground, hopefully
that's awesome.
Teetering towards the edge of the pool below.
Yes.
Slick with grease.
Yes.
Sliding like a skating rink with the momentum of the fall carrying him.
20. Shit. Dirty
yeah,
20.
Fine.
Sorry. You're hard-pressed to win a strength contest with a stone giant, unfortunately.
You know, I knew that it was not necessarily the most successful, but at least he's on his ass now.
Mm-hmm. He is on his ass, and I'm going to award you inspiration for your stupid
plan.
Excellent.
I love it.
You failed, but you came up with inspirations. So good job.
I got halfway there.
A stone giant's on his ass, though, which is a great place to get a stone giant. It's official now, canonically. Jack, is that the end of your turn?
That is the end of my turn. I have moved. I've taken an action and a bonus action, and away we go.
And away we go.
Mari.
Let's show them what it's worth, Mari.
So, yeah. So if Guiding Bolt is going to get me disadvantage, which is not great.
Yeah. So ranged attacks against creatures that are prone actually have disadvantage because they lying down, they make a smaller target.
Yeah, I knew it was not the greatest plan, but he's at least on his ass.
Well, I think it was a great idea. I really like the
just roll good, Alex. Come on. What
not to pile on Jack, but that grease is all over the bridge now, right?
That's right.
So when the giant's gone, do we need to cross that?
There might be an edge on the north side of it that we could sneak across that does not have grease on it.
But just out of argument's sake, if we don't, do we all need to pass that grease? And if we don't fall 60 feet?
Can you cancel
the grease?
No, it's going to hang out for a minute.
Oh, a minute. That's fine. We could. Well, then my invisibility's gone.
That's right.
You know what? We'll cross that bridge literally when we come to it.
We'll cross that bridge.
Literally cross that bridge when we get there.
Unless Mari wants to use...
It's like that butter
create
pole.
Food and grease. Destroy... Create... destroy
create
destroy
create fries. Mm-hmm.
Create french fries, yeah.
Create snacks. Yeah, because really the only other thing I can do right now is like tidal wave.
Does tidal wave push people?
It will knock him prone again.
Double prone.
It'll just keep him prone. It'll make him so prone, he'll be just like upside down.
Actual question. Is the grease flammable?
There's a possibility that the grease is flammable. Again, we'll cross that grease when we come to it. If you want to light it on fire, we'll talk about
that. Yeah, unfortunately, I am not a fire thing, so I can't do shit.
You don't have anything fire?
No. I'm a water genasi.
Only your first hot single.
Mari, spitting fire.
I'm a water genasi. My name is Mari, and I'm...
So I have a question. It's a little out of turn, and I'm just curious about more about rules and how you might approach this. But let's say she did have a fire spell, and she like used it here, and she failed the attack roll against the giant by like one. Would you like allow that to then land in the grease below?
No.
Or would you say you need to be able to hit the giant?
Or if you were just targeting the grease, that'd be a different story.
Okay. Good to know.
Because like if a giant's throwing a boulder at you and misses by one, it's not going to hit Red, who's beside you. You know what I mean? Like that's not really how that works.
True.
Mari, what do you do?
At this point, she really just cannot get a good eye on anything. It's kind of a disaster on the bridge, crab legs, everything, oil, it's a mess. So she's going to run up to hide behind one of the little like outcroppings of rock just because she's worried she's going to hit somebody else. She's going to go hide.
Excellent.
You're going to take the hide action.
Yes.
Make a stealth check, please.
17.
Nice. Excellent.
17.
What would be the advantage of doing a hide action?
Yeah, I mean, you would be attacking with advantage potentially depending on the circumstance. If Mari is adequately hidey. The ground all around you begins to rumble and shake, and with a cracking, shearing noise,
all of that.
Big pieces of rock underfoot begin to move. Underneath Jack, Mari, Red, the ground is quaking and cracking and opening up. And suddenly you begin to shoot towards a dark ceiling.
Oh no.
Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Adam Fry, Amanda Kitchener, Amy Garza, Anne, Atholagoth, Cecil Lee Wilson, Jerry Rose Anderson, Christopher, Colin Burkhart, Crow, Casey, D.S., Dippity, Elizabeth H., Flynn, Gareth Bradshaw, Haley again, Harper the Marks, Indrid Hartley, Jekyll, JD, Joy Robinson, Jory, KR, KM, Cade, Lasagna, Last Ruth on the Left, Leader J, Lizzie Demon, Lorelei Feldman, Matilda Rushing, Melinda Curley, Moon, Melissa, Merlin, Sam C, Regan, Wren, Ruth Ann Reed, Scotty, S-Ray 96, Tony Pepperoni, Xander Morning Dove, Zephyrus, and Zach House. Woo!
Ooh-wah.
Insane as a stone thane.
Insane as a thane.
How long have you been sitting on that one?
Oh, like as I was coming up the stairs, I'm like, come on, computer, get going.
I've got a good one locked and loaded. I need in.
Insane. A thing.
Oh my god.
That's great.
Wicket. Wah.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.